Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moneybox Finance Limited Q3 and 9 months FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Windstra Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Windstra Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Windstra Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Moneybox Finance Limited Q3 and 9 months FY 2024 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Co-CEO, and CFO, and Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Co-CEO, and COO of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Deepak Agarwal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Thank you, everyone, and a warm welcome to everyone. As we said, Mr. Mayur Modi is also on the call. He's Co-CEO and COO, and we have Viral Sheth also on the call. He's a finance controller at Moneybox Finance. Before we start the Q3 FY 2024 discussion, I would like to thank all our investors with whose support we could raise our largest round of private placement in December 2023. This round was for 74 crore, and this led to more than doubling of our net worth to almost 159 crore. So that's the kind of milestone we achieved recently. Now, getting on to Q3 performance, our AUM of the company increased by 124% year-on-year to 530 crore, including managed book, from 237 crore, the same number versus last year. AUM grew 18% sequentially from 448 crore. Number of branches increased by 59% year-on-year to 86, up from 54 branches last year in 6 states. Now, we have a presence in 8 states. In the 9 months, we expanded our presence to 8 states with adding 2 more states, which is Bihar in Q2 and Gujarat in Q3. The expansion is consistently improving geographic diversification of the portfolio. Today, we have around 1,200 people on board. So this number has also doubled because of our feet-on-street model. Now, disbursements were up 55% year-on-year to 155 crore in Q3 versus 100 crore disbursement in last year Q3. Disbursements were up 92% in 9 months to 374 crore versus 195 crore, the same number last year. And a very important milestone which we have achieved today is that we crossed the disbursement of 1,000 crore since inception. So that's a journey of, you know, five years, and the numbers are increasing continuously. An important parameter which we have achieved is that share of secured loans has increased very significantly, which grew from 5% of AUM as of March 2023 to 17% as of December 2023 and 19% as of January 2024. So our expectation is we from 5% last year to we will be around somewhere between 22%-25% by the time we end this year in March. While total income grew strongly by 169% to 85.55 crore in 9 months compared to 31.82 crore last year, in line with the strong growth in the business, operating expenses only grew by 84%. This is a large increase, but I'm saying compared to total income of 169%, operating expenses grew by 84% to 45.92 crore versus 24.9 crore. This change or lower growth in operating expenses because operating leverage is kicking in has resulted in the profit after tax of 5.02 crore in 9 months compared to a net loss of 7.22 crores in 9 months last year. It would be good to know that we have achieved a return on equity of 8.6% in Q3 and 8% in 9 months. This is compared to, you know, a negative ROE last year. Profitability is further expected to improve, driven by declining cost of borrowing and benefit of operating leverage, which we are already seeing year on year. The company has strong unit economics and interest rate improved by 300 basis points. You would have seen the investor presentation because of the two factors. While our average yield versus last year improved by 210 basis points, our cost of borrowing decreased to 14.7%. So there is a decrease of 90 basis points there. It's still high. But a very important point to note here is that our incremental cost of borrowing in Q3 stood at 12.84%. So compare this with, you know, 15.5% last year to 14.17 on an average and incremental of, you know, below 13%. This, as we said earlier as well, that this is one area of performance we match because larger players still get around 10% or a single digit pricing. So here, as we grow in size and as our credit rating is improving, we are continuously decreasing our borrowing rates. Again, because of the large round of equity, debt to equity improved to 1.92% from 3.38% in March, and leverage declined to 2.41% from 3.67%. Liquidity remains strong at 90 crores in December, also driven by a large equity round. In addition to this, as we have mentioned, we have a on-tap funding available through two companies, which is about 45 crore per month. So in addition to what we maintain as our cash balance and investment, we have a strong on-tap line of 45 crores per month. So almost 25 crores in terms of co-lending lines and in about 20 crores in terms of business corresponding lines. So this also helps in strong growth of AUM and expansion of business. Asset quality has been strong. I would say while the asset quality was impacted during the year, as agriculture-driven rural economy was affected by high and erratic rains, in especially our operating states, which is Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan, and UP. So you would see that although normally, on an average basis, India received just about 6% lesser rainfall this year, but when the rainfall was very erratic, that, you know, some few months were dry, like August, and some months were, you know, gained. So like May was the highest rains in 13 years. And also, there is a difference in sense that Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan, and UP got higher rain than usual, while some states, which are our operating areas, while northeastern West Bengal, South Indian Telangana receive lesser rainfall of, you know, about 40%. So 40% higher and 40% lower there. So what has, it has some impact. I would not say it's a very deep stress, but definitely it led to, you know, because again, 65% of our portfolio is into livestock and about 95% to 98% of these livestock borrowers also have an agriculture income. Although we fund on livestock income, but if there is some stress or maybe some additional expenses like replantation, etc., there is some impact. However, I would say that the impact is around about a percentage point. So gross NPA for us increased by 1.51% compared to 0.99% in September and 0.59% in March. So almost a 1.08% increase. Now, this has also resulted also because, you know, you would notice that in the 9 months of this year, we have taken a credit cost of 1.28% versus 1.91% in the last year same period. Because earlier what we were doing, anything which is 180 day plus, we were writing it off, which is, there is a change in status here because one, there is now we are slowly getting into secured loans as well. And we, because of our collection efforts, we are seeing that the payments even beyond 180 days is coming back. So there has been some, also because of some change in policy, you see a higher GNPA, but also you will see a lower credit cost on the other hand. So all in all, I'm saying the change is just about 1%, a little over 1%. The other fact here is that you will see that in the last 5 years, our credit cost was less than 3%, even during the extreme conditions like pandemic, COVID-1, COVID-2, and lumpy skin disease, which impacted us. But it's the credit cost overall has never gone above 3%. So which were like larger stress situation, the recent deterioration, we expect that to normalize sooner than later. And thus we believe that asset quality will remain maintained. So it's about every year, some or the other event, maybe, you know, 0.5% here and there, but we are largely fine. And this, in fact, you know, give us more strength in terms of our data that, you know, after, you know, all this pandemic, lumpy, or, you know, now the monsoon situation, the portfolio quality remains, you know, under control. Other than, you know, movement of 50 basis point, 200 basis point here and there, which slowly recovers. And now with, you know, almost 20% of the AUM going into secured, this becomes even better now. So broadly we are fine. Although yes, we have taken more steps. So like till last year, we were not doing any notices. We didn't have any customer collection calling. So there are a lot of things which we have bought into picture this year to improve the collections. As a closing remark, I would say that our AUM is expected to more than double by March. We closed last year at 338 crores. We are already in December at 530 crores. So growth remains good on all parameters. We will be putting in additional equity of 4.9 crores by promoter. Definitely we are seeing decline in operating cost on one side, decline in improvement in yield on the other, which we have already shown, and also borrowing cost is coming down slowly. So we believe that business will remain strong with the expansion in place. So that's about our Q3 numbers. We would be really happy to take up, you know, detailed questions as you like.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Nizar Ora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was that are there any industry-specific patterns that make the last quarter favorable for our type of business? And in the last con call, we were targeting around 10 crores of additional profit in the last two quarters. So are we still on track to achieve that?
Rishabh, to answer first question, I would say that there is nothing which I would say positive. If I have to talk about the industry-related pattern, if you see RBI guidelines, you know, or the position of RBI that, you know, overall in the industry, asset quality has deteriorated a bit, especially in the unsecured lending environment. Having said that, this is more about personal loans, wherein RBI took some steps. So overall, we believe there is slight deterioration because of starting from some uneven erratic rains to, you know, some other circumstances. but this is controllable. So nothing which we say that, because, you know, starting a business, we have seen worst scenario, like, you know, COVID 1, 2 and lumpy skin disease. So this seems just okay to us. Secondly, because of the recent RBI guidelines, you know, wherein they have tightened the norm towards NBFC lending, we believe that it has impacted cost of borrowing a little bit. So it has impacted the cost of borrowing for larger NBFCs. It has also impacted banks' you know, view towards NBFC lending. So they are still lending, everyone is lending, but yes, relatively restriction is there, because of which we feel that, you know, we see a 25 basis point kind of jump over a quarter in terms of. So overall, we are on the declining path, but we still believe that if these guidelines were not there, we would have been better off. So that's on the industry part. In terms of profitability, I think we are on a reasonably strong path. So we can't exactly guide, but numbers seems to be good and improving. So you would see that increase in OPEX is far lesser than the increase in income. So on all the terms, whether it is yield, whether it is, you know, spread, things are improving. And, you know, we are on a high single digit ROE now, which we still hope to improve in the current quarter.
Got it, sir. And sir, when you say about the 25 basis point increase, is it on top of the 12.85% that you were mentioning? Or,
Yes. So, yeah. So maybe we end up maybe even less than 13, but that's like 25 basis point I'm taking as a margin, that this looks like a possibility to us.
Got it. And what would be our steady state asset quality?
So as we said, that the worst we have seen in the worst of the environment, you know, we have not seen credit cost of more than 3%. So they have always been less than 3%. So on the unsecured side, some points are in there, take it maximum 2 to 3%. My guess is we will be more closer to 2 than 3.
Okay. And you're talking about this quarter, more closer to 2?
No, not this quarter. I think numbers, we are still, overall, we are still below 2% now. And this situation will be maintained even in March quarter. Although in terms of current efficiency, it is 97%. So there is that 1% decline in terms of current collection. Cumulative collection remains at 98%. The only thing which has changed is current collection a little bit. But I hope that this will improve only in this quarter.
Got it, sir. And sir, my last question is that the deputy RBI governor recently revisited the yield cap on MFIs. Do you see a similar risk playing out in our space as well, and where, you know, we could be restricted by a yield cap because like 30% average yield might be slightly higher for the RBI?
No, not really. Not at all. I think for other than the MFI, it has never been there with an NBFC. So we have NBFC charging 72% as well and 90% as well. So all kind of rates exist in the market, but definitely RBI will understand, even if you see the players who are into MFI business and also into individual business, you will see that there is a significant difference in the rates. See, because when you do individual lending, the OPEX is different. You know, the risk are different, the OPEX is different. So you can't have that, comparable rates. So they will always be a bit higher than the MFI segment. And if you see that, you know, 30% in this kind of segment, although it looks like that when you compare to a bank, to a corporate, but in this side where MFI are also lending into 26-27% range, 30 is not that high. It's a very reasonable number. So we are very competitive in secured lending vis-a-vis even larger players having a 5,000 crore book, and similarly for unsecured lending. So at each price point, we are very competitive in the market. We are not charging premium there.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Neha Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon, sir. Hi. I just had a couple of questions regarding key performance indicators like AUM or income, which has to be different in different branches. So how does it impact the variation and the overall productivity?
So Neha, generally we look at the overall performance for the company, then state-wise and then branch-wise. Definitely it is looked upon. But I believe that, you know, you will always have some variation within branch to branch. Generally our average productivity is contained, the way we look at it, that, you know, also because you can't have a same productivity level in all the branches, because if you, even now, if you see, we have opened almost 36 branches this year, you know, over 61 branches, which we had in March. So each branch can't have a similar. Also, I would tell you that even the competition intensity in each of the location could be a little different. So while, you know, while we open in some area of MP, which is location-wise, there are a lot of possibilities in terms of expansion. There could be some areas, you know, where you have higher competition and maybe the productivity could be lower. But the way we see it is in the, on the overall basis, how company is doing. So if you have anything specific, you know, related to branch-wise, so, you know, I can answer specifically.
So, sir, do we have any specific areas or locations which have been continuously performing better than the other areas or states?
There are branches which are, you know, which are like have higher AUM. It could, you know, there are a number of branches. So, you know, you can always, you know, out of 100 branches, you can always classify them as top 25 or, you know, it could be like multiple branches in MP, like Sehore, Mandsaur, in Punjab, Bhatinda. So you have, every time you have some of the branches who are like leading. But as I said, that does not impact the business decision, you know, because you could have a branch head who is better than others. So you could have higher, or because of the area. Or because of the product, it could, there could be some change there.
Okay. And then, so do we have any specific, you know, key points that we have to consider before opening of branches? So what does the bank, you know, consider before opening of these branches?
So there is a full-fledged criteria on how we open it. So it's very, first on the top end, you realize that, you know, okay, you have to open in Gujarat or Bihar or, you know, MP, how much expansion. Then obviously there is a RBH and state head recommendation because they know the business there. And then there is a asset quality check based on, you know, various MFI and CRIF data. So you check area-wise, you know, how the delinquency has been. You check, you know, in terms of, because we are 65% into cattle, you know, how the agriculture level there are in terms of water availability. Then you also see how is the political environment there, you know, in terms of policy guidelines, logistics, you know, availability of infrastructure. So, and then, you know, competitor analysis, which is also very important. We will see, you know, the population which is there, the earnings and the competitive scenario. So we will see, you know, how, say, the nearest five competition companies are doing there, you know, in terms of portfolio, in terms of disbursement, in terms of delinquency. So all those criteria are taken into account and then the branch is opened. And this is also a feature that, you know, if you see till now, whatever branches we have opened, and now we are close to, we are very getting close to 100, there is not a single branch which we had to close for a non-performance reason. Yeah. So there have been a branch manager which may have to change because of the performance issues. But area-wise, you know, every area has been good.
Okay, sir. Just one last question. Just like on a future outlook, how many branches do we foresee in the next 5 years and the total AUM?
I think we have given some numbers in our annual report. So broadly, by 28, we have said that, you know, we would like to open 400 branches. And about 6,000 crore plus kind of AUM by that time.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and good luck.
Thank you. Next question comes from Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, our ROE has been continuously improving. Do we have any guidance for ROE for the coming years?
So Samate, thank you. Yes, ROE is consistently improving. And, you know, we believe the business we are in is definitely a 20% plus ROE business. I could have said more, but I believe that this is a minimum 20% ROE kind of business, even with a reasonable growth. Because growth is there. If you see the numbers, that we are already on 8.6% ROE. And if you see that our cost of borrowing is still, even incremental cost is 13%. And if you see the average cost of 9 months, it is at 14.7%. Now you just compare the kind of borrowing rate which larger players are borrowing at, which I would say in the range of 10-11% max. So see, there is one significant improvement which can come from declining ROE. I think we would be able to maintain the yields and with declining ROE and OPEX. So definitely what we say in our numbers as well, that, you know, this is definitely a 20% plus ROE business. So in next couple of years, we should definitely move towards that. See, currently, our growth rate is very high, you know, from 61 branches to 100 branches this year. So you would notice that expansion is quite fast here, which means that all the branches which we open in this year would largely be just, you know, closed. Some of them will be loss-making. A lot of them, majority of them will be loss-making. Some of them will just break even this year. And even if they are earning profit, that would be very, very marginal. So there is a lot of pressure from that side. Also, from the corporate side, because, you know, when you are growing, you still have to maintain the entire team, you know, all the heads, all the IT team. So with growth in AM, this expense only distributes towards a larger AUM. So definitely we do see expansion of ROE over a period of time.
Right. And since you mentioned about 400 branches, was that by FY27 or FY28?
FY28, more likely FY28.
Okay.
More likely and what FY29, yeah.
Okay. And what would be, a rough diversification or in terms of geographic diversification among different states, if you have to enumerate? What is it currently and what would it be?
Among the early stage NBFCs, we are already very well diversified with presence in 8 states. No states, has over 26% of AUM as of now. So we are reasonably sure of the diversification. 8 states are already there. And I think next year, again, we will look at, you know, adding 2 to 3 more states. So maybe 2 states on the south side, south India side, and maybe one state here. in our existing nearby our existing location. So on an average, you can assume that every year, you know, we would like to enter two new states at least. And branches will keep on expanding, so which is the way it is happening. There's a very large, you know, opportunity which is there in whether it is UP, MP, Gujarat, Bihar, maybe Jharkhand, then, you know, on the South India side, with more competition, but still, the opportunity is large.
Mm-hmm. And what would be a typical mix of category of loans by FY28?
So basically, in terms of one, in terms of secured and unsecured, we would definitely have a majority secured portfolio. As so, this year around say 22 to 25% of secured. Next year maybe 35% plus. So kind of, you know, at least in improving the secured portfolio by at least 10% every year. So we will have what I can commit is we will have majority of secured portfolio by FY28. Maybe 60-40 in that range. In terms of product mix, this may change. So every year you will see that, you know, first year we were doing more of ticket size of 1.2 lakh. Then slowly it improved to now in the unsecured segment about 1.6, and then unsecured and then secured is about close to 4 lakhs now. The highest ticket size, although we say 70,000 to 10 lakh. But we have disbursed loan even up to 15 lakhs. So in the range of 11, 12, 15. So one, that ticket size could grow year on year. And definitely new products will come in. So we will announce as things happen, but definitely new products can come in here.
And what about end use? If you're told by the loans in terms of end use, and what would be a rough mix?
So right now the presence is into business loans, but definitely, you know, with year passing by, it could be home improvement as well. It could be EV segment as well. It could be other segment as well. So you will see as the time grows. So currently, you know, it's year on year. Sometimes we focus on the lending partnership. This year around, it's like, see, one main area of focus is expand the current services, because this is always already a proven model. So expand the services to newer states, newer branches, more branches, and then slowly and steadily, you know, bring in new products.
And how many of our borrowers are women, if you would have that data?
How many?
How many of our borrowers are women?
About 55%.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. Fine. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Nizar Gora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity again. Sir, my question was that this quarter we have relied on PTC securitization for debt funding. What is our strategy for them, and do they help us bring down our rates of borrowing?
Yes, so maybe, so PTC definitely gives us a better pricing, because, you know, when you do this PTC, you get a two notch plus rating. So if I am, say, BBB- as of now, I will, on a PTC paper, because of enhancement, I will get a rating of, say, A-, which means that, you know, as I said that, you know, last time we did PTC, we were charged about 12.4% on that. So definitely, yes, one, it's an additional source of liquidity, which is the most important thing. The structures are better, and yeah, you get a reasonably good pricing. So with, and also in the last quarter, you see, on the sourcing side, one is definitely PTC, but the other development is that we did our first retail NCD, which was done on the Wynt platform. And, you know, we could raise about 25 crores in a two-day span. So, and which we are doing again now. So this is, again, a very good source of funding where, you know, you can raise money from public in a range of about 1 lakh to 2 lakh per lender or a per retail investor. So retail investors also get a good pricing, and then, you know, for us also it opens up a new source of funding. So this will remain. So we will have newer opportunities always to look out. Now, you know, because as the rating improves, we would also be eligible to raise from, you know, foreign funds, you know, DFIs, you know, like, you know, organizations like KFW, Impact Funds. So there's always an intention to improve the funding profile and diversify the funding profile. To answer your question, yes, there is some benefit of, you know, raising from securitization papers, both in terms of structure and pricing.
Got it. And, sir, we have been growing very fast recently. So, like, what happens is the numbers get blurred. So, what would be the best way to, you know, monitor the asset quality and ROE, excluding the growth part of it, like on a steady business? What would be the best way to do that?
To answer your first question, when you say monitor the asset quality, I think definitely you should not look at it quarter on quarter because we're still an early stage NBFC. The best way to look at it as that, you know, how we performed in the worst performing scenario. So I think pandemic one was one of the worst performing scenario. COVID two was even worse, although because there was no moratorium also. And then, you know, we saw lumpy skin disease. So as I said that each year when we have some scenario and then we are sure that at least on those worst timing, we have not crossed credit cost of over, so which includes everything, all the ECL, all the provisions, all the write-off, we never touch 3%. So I think that can give you a fair sense on how asset quality is moving. So current year, I would say that it is a blip for last 6 months where we realize that, you know, there are some on-ground pain, but we don't feel that, you know, it is as worse as what happened in the past, because those were like, sometimes those were like permanent damages. Here it is not the case. It is like, you know, it's a matter of about 6 months or so. So that's on the asset quality. Obviously policies are there. You know, we always feel collection is definitely more important than sales. So all the policies are driven that way, that, you know, we are focused on the collections. Because we understand, you know, how bad it can impact, you know, if we don't control the asset quality. So that's one part, you know. So the track record serves the best. On the ROE side, I would say there are two parameters, that it's a growing company and the ROE is obviously improving. It's in line with some of the very large, you know, NBFCs in place. And the best way to look out it, how the unit economics is working around. So, you know, when you see this is the kind of E, this is the kind of, and you can definitely guess, you know, seeing the track record, which is in terms of bringing down the borrowing cost. So on a stable basis, you can assume that if this is the yield and this is the borrowing cost over, say next 2.5-3 years time span, our spread is already 16%. Our NIM is already close to 18%, you know, between 17 and 18%. So it's easy to make out that, you know the OPEX. So if you do full secured, maybe you are at around 6% OPEX. If you are doing only unsecured, maybe you are at around 11-12. If you are doing a combination, you are at, you know, between 8 and 10. So, you know, you can always guess the OPEX. You can always see how the leverage strategy of the company is, which is, again, you know, if you see our past track record, it is there that, you know, we have not been just an equity-heavy company in the past. It has always been lesser. So, you know, we always try to optimize the capital structure to the extent possible. So there would be some leverage on book and then the off book, which is a managed book. So there, you know, all the way judiciously, you know, we try to optimize on the return on equity. So, you can do the basic calculation to arrive at the number.
Right. Okay, I see. And sir, like crossing the 15% ROE mark would be a great milestone for us. So, like, do we have any internal targets to reach that number without slowing or compromising on the growth?
You said 15%.
Yeah, 15%. Yes.
If you just take my opinion, I'm not, you know, suggesting anything, but, you know, I believe it should be definitely achieving over the next 24 months, which is
F26. Got it. Right. And, sir, my last question would be that what is our vision with the Sika app? And, like, could you throw some light on the new collection methods that you were talking about in your initial reference?
I'm just saying that we have become relatively stricter on the collection. That earlier we were not issuing any notices, any legal notices to the clients, which we have started for the first time this year. Now all the NPA accounts have been served legal notices. We did not have a collection calling team, which is, you know, any outside. It was all the responsibility of the branch guys. Now we have four guys starting December, you know, so every borrower who has not paid is kind of getting a call every alternate day. So that's another step. Then there is a central team in Gurgaon where we have hired two people serving in the collection side. So I'm saying then we have taken some initiatives in terms of that, you know, if DPDs crosses some benchmark, the incentives are, you know, not given to branches. So, I mean, there are multiple criteria and the parameters which are made and, you know, steps which have taken to improve the collection. Although I'm saying it's not too worse, it sometimes happens because of the external scenario. But yes, we realize that thing and multiple steps are taken there.
Right. And, sir, the vision with the Sika app that we have?
Mayur, you want to take this?
Sure. So basically what we are doing is, you know, because of the fact that this as a very large distribution play, so we also wanted to strengthen our digital, platform. I think the Sika app serves as that platform. It also helps us to connect with our customers more closely because being in a rural economy, I think most of the customers had to walk into the branches for some of the services that they really, that they wanted on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, understanding what is their outstanding, downloading their statements and, you know, applying for a loan. You know, they had to do it through their loan officers. What we have done is through the Sika app, we have enabled them to kind of, you know, access all our products and services online. So we are seeing very good traction on this, whatever cash collections were coming in, we are trying to move that to BBPS through the Sika app, and we have seen almost, from last month, if you look at it on a month-on-month basis, there is an increase of almost 10% of our overall collection, which we used to do, is now coming through BBPS. So that saves us a lot of time and money, and cash collection has its own demerits in terms of, you know, moving cash and handling cash. So that's one thing. We also want to distribute some of the other products through this because we feel we have a very large customer base. We should be able to service or distribute some of the other products that we intend to do in near future. So gold, digital gold is one savings product that we are now, servicing through this app. So the idea is that, you know, we make this as a wholesome experience for our customers, wherein they can not only access their existing products, if they're in need of any other financial products, they should be able to do this. And it becomes a very easy tool for them to be able to access this.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from Nihar Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead. A repeat question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Right. In terms of following the fundraising via equity in December 2023, what kind of growth capitalization does the NBFC have? If you could highlight on that.
So you want to know that, you know, how much AUM we can reach with this current round?
Yeah. Right, right.
So I would say very, very comfortably a 1,000 crore number. But if we can stretch it to about 200 crore as well. So take a broad number of, say on a higher side, I would say a 4x leverage. Say if by March we have about 168 crores of net worth into 4. So we can build about a 700 crore kind of book on balance sheet and another 300 to 500 crore off balance sheet. But I would say if you want to take a reasonable number, take it about 1,000 crore. But 1,200 is possible through various structures, like, you know, having some off book as well.
Okay. My other question, talking about the interest spread percentage, how
I would also, I would, Nihar, I would also like to mention, based on our covenants, so we can make an AUM of about, on all the covenants I'm saying, on a net worth basis, we can make about 7.5x of AUM based on our equity. So if equity is, say, 170, into 7.5, it gives a number of 1275, so 1275 crores. So I'm saying this is a bit stretched number, but theoretically this is possible.
Understood, sir. That is all from me, sir. Thank you so much for the insight and wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
From my side, I think we are in a good shape. You know, branches are expanding, geographical expansion is happening, team is expanding. You know, we are on track in terms of equity. So we don't see much of the problem in terms of raising the issue. For next year, I think we will be on track to open. So we opened almost 40 branches now. So by March, as we suggested last year that we will have 100 branches, we will have 100 branches. So everything is on track there. For next year, again, you know, we feel that strong business performance will be there. And we expect our credit rating to improve in next financial year by at least 2 notches. So maybe we are BBB minus positive now. We should be BBB very soon, and BBB plus is what we expect anytime during the calendar year or definitely in this financial year. So I hope that, you know, the key focus area other than the expansion is to bring the borrowing cost down. So we will, we are sure that, you know, slowly and steadily this will also happen. And as we grow our AUM, OPEX will decline, so operating leverage will kick in. So that is definitely our focus area. On credit cost, we definitely have to improve. So this is the first time we saw, you know, this came something, this rain thing came in something which is not so expected, I would say, because COVID and lumpy skin, you know, you kind of, it was on your face that, you know, something would happen. This happened something, you know, this dip happened something, you know, very, very slow and steady. So I think it took us a little while to take that action. Although we realized it sooner to, you know, bring it to, you know, secured space and then increasing our, you know, rate of interest on the unsecured, because we could saw some delinquency happening there. So that way we controlled it. But overall, we see a good scenario here in terms of growth, because product is very light, you know, in livestock especially. You know, we have this agroforestry, we have vet services which have a unique feature. Now we are, you know, launching other features like biodigesters, etc. which will show up slowly and steadily. So I think we are in a definitely a good space. Mayur, if you want to say something.
No, I think what I want to just say is that, you know, we just completed 5 years 2 days back. I think all the hard work of the team put in the last 5 years, including 2 years of COVID, is finally now, starting to pay off. I think this is the first full year profitability that we will probably report in March. I think, you know, we've built a very strong team. I think our product is very strong, and, we are gaining a lot of traction in the markets that we operate. And some of the markets we are either the first port of call or we are second in line to gain market share. I think that's very important. Wherever we operate, I think we have a very fantastic team on the ground. At the team, vintage has been very strong. That shows the conviction of the team on the ground well, as well as the team at the corporate levels that, you know, they believe in the story. I think all that put together, I think we have a winning product and business at hand. All that we need to do is we need to continue to execute well. I think that's what the team is focused on. And, you know, I'm sure that in the coming months and quarters, you will see the results of the hard work even more as we keep on reporting positive numbers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Winstra Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.